Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this evening is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, beginning with the second verse. This was part of our first lesson for this evening. Dear friends in Christ, people always talk about peace. A beauty pageant contestant or a politician, especially if you watched last night, we're talking about how to bring peace to the Middle East. Or with all the violence and going on, police officials, law enforcement officials might hold a press conference about how they might bring about peace within the community. Or so many different demonstrations and riots going on, you might have some official, maybe at a college, talk about how they want to bring about a peaceful resolution. People always talk about working toward peace. And for good reason. This world isn't really a very peaceful place. It seems, especially lately. Well, you just look at all the terrorists that are attacking innocent civilians as they go throughout their everyday lives. It seems as if they're getting stronger and bolder. Violence fills the airwaves, even on the local nightly news. It's not a very peaceful place. Wars and rumors of wars going on all over the world. And to tell you the truth, none of this is really all that new, and it shouldn't be all that surprising, but it still is appalling to us. So, and it also shouldn't surprise us then when people talk about wanting peace. But have you ever thought of how ironic it might be how those who want peace are often those who cause peace? That is, sinful humans who cause unrest and discord and strife are the same ones who use the same means to try to work towards peace. We're all sinners. And therefore, we don't have peace by nature. It's in our nature to hate. It's in our nature to cause strife and to start wars. Now, of course, none of you here, at least to my knowledge, is a suicide bomber. None of you here has committed murder. None of you here has started a war. That doesn't mean that we're all peace-loving individuals who have nothing but peace. All of us have been violent at one time in our lives, probably when we're toddlers, or for all of us, even years after that, we were violent. And even if you weren't violent physically, well, there's many times that we've spread a message of hate or said hateful words to somebody, or instead of trying to cause someone to calm down, we say something that makes the situation even worse. We know the violence we have in our hearts, the hateful words or thoughts that dwell up inside of us, and we know then by nature we don't have peace of mind. We don't have peace in our hearts because we know who we are and we know that what we deserve, and we know there's nothing we can do about it. We're hateful and vengeful people. So today, we see the last name that Isaiah records in chapter 9, verse 6. Prince of Peace. Jesus is the King who brings peace to this world. And not peace in the Middle East, not avoidance or freedom from wars and rumors of wars. No, the peace that Jesus brings is true peace, spiritual peace. That's the peace that the angels announced to the shepherds the night Jesus was born. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Christ came to bring peace to the earth. We love talking about peace this time of year especially. Oh, Christmas ornaments have the word peace on them, or maybe we have some other Christmas decorations that might even say the whole verse, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Number of Christmas songs have peace in their title or talk about peace people having a sense of peace and calm when they think about the Christ child laying in his manger in Bethlehem. But the thing about that Christ child laying in a manger in Bethlehem is that he grew up. He had to grow up. That's the thing about Jesus and about that baby born in Bethlehem, is that he is only the Prince of Peace because of what he did more than 30 years later in Jerusalem. That's why we focused on what we did in our lessons for this evening. It may seem kind of odd to talk about Jesus suffering and death on just a few days before Christmas, 8 or 9 days. That's something for Lent or Good Friday. In fact, this is the first lesson is part of the first lesson for Good Friday. Not Christmas and Lent. I mean Christmas and Advent. You might say that's not right. But that's how Jesus brought peace into the world. And you can say that Jesus brought peace into the world by himself being peaceful. And we talk about Jesus' passive obedience. The time when Jesus didn't make full use of his divine glory and power. When Jesus willingly obeyed the Father by not doing something. Jesus is God. He could have done whatever he wanted, but when he was mocked and ridiculed and spit upon, when he was flogged and crowned with thorns, when he had nails pounded into his hands, into his feet, Jesus didn't get out of it. He didn't bring wrath and vengeance on those who were trying to kill him and did kill him. Instead, he prayed for them. Instead, he willingly let himself suffer and die. He brought peace into the world by himself becoming peaceful. All the more we realize what he did when you take a look at Isaiah's description of Jesus. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. And then in verse 3, he says, he is like one from whom men hide their faces. What a stark difference between that babe born in Bethlehem and Jesus, the man who died on the cross. We sing at Christmas time, O Jesus so sweet, O Jesus so mild. But he was so beaten, so abused, crowned with thorns, flogged almost to the point of death, beaten and spit upon and struck with rods, that we didn't even want to look at him. So disfigured that we couldn't even recognize him. So appalling that people had to turn their faces at the sight of Jesus. That is what happened to the Christ child. That is how much Jesus suffered and died for us. And of course, the affliction that Jesus suffered wasn't just physical pain, but also emotional and spiritual pain. But the most Jesus had to suffer didn't come at the hands of the soldiers or because of Pilate. He didn't suffer the most when one of his disciples betrayed him and had him arrested. Didn't happen when one of his closest disciples denied that he even knew Jesus. Rather, he suffered the most at the hands of his dear Father. We heard Jesus cry out on the cross in our second lesson, our gospel for today. My God, why have you forsaken me? God rejected Jesus. God forsook his one and only Son because he became a sinner. As Isaiah wrote in verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Christ suffered on the cross because of the times that we have crossed the forbidden line. Because of the times that we rebelled against his word and ruined our right relationship with him. Christ suffered and died on the cross because we failed to live up to the level of perfection that he demands of us. We, because we are guilty, Christ became a guilty sinner for us. And so he is rejected by the Father. At that point in time, Christ suffered the eternal punishment that we deserve. When he was separated from God, when God rejected him, that's when he suffered hell in our place. That makes Jesus' passive obedience all the more remarkable. Jesus didn't just lay aside his divine glory and power and didn't make use of them simply to suffer or to die. No, he willingly obeyed the Lord even to the point of suffering through eternal damnation. Suffering the punishment that we deserve. And notice what Isaiah says about that punishment. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The punishment that Christ suffered brings us peace. It's the peace of forgiveness. The peace of mind knowing that Christ has removed all our sins and has given us his perfect life. The peace of mind knowing that our sins, no matter what we have done, will not be counted against us, will not condemn us. Peace knowing that because Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after he died, we too will rise from the dead when we die, and we will live with him in heaven forever. That is true peace. Spiritual peace. The peace of forgiveness. This is the peace that only Christ can bring to the world. That's why he came down to earth. To suffer and die and bring us peace. That's what makes him the Prince of Peace. That's what the angels talked about to those shepherds that very night. It may seem weird or strange to talk about Christ's suffering and death a week and a half before Christmas. But it's hard not to talk about the peace he brings without looking about how he suffered and died to bring us true spiritual peace. And it is this peace that leads us to live at peace with one another. Paul encourages the people in Romans 12, "Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath." As Christians, we never want to be the instigators of hatred. There are times when people might mistreat us and do hurtful and harmful things toward us, but instead of getting angry, instead of getting vengeance, we are calm and loving, and we let God take care of things. We let God be in control and know that he is always watching over us and taking care of us. So the peace of Christ leads us to live at peace with one another, with all people, and especially those with whom we share our faith, so we may grow up together in the knowledge of God and his word. That's how true peace is brought about. Only by Christ and his gospel. Now, people talk about bringing peace into the world, and that's good because we do need more peace into this world. But they all, for most part, they have one fatal flaw. It's flawed from the start because only true peace comes from Christ and his gospel. No matter how hard they try, no matter what they want to come up with, if Christ and the gospel is not bringing out peace, there is no true peace in the world. You have true peace. You have the gospel at your disposal that works faith in people's hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit So if you want people to have peace into this world, well, there's only one thing to do, and that's spread the gospel so that other people may believe in the Prince of Peace and live that peace as they dwell among others. True peace is the only comes by the Prince of Peace, who came down to this world to suffer and die to bring us peace. Peace of forgiveness and the peace of eternal life. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.